several missing. I know we got some going on vacations and some's working. Y'all remember Stephanie? She was hoping to get to make it, and she got a test come up. She's probably not going to get to be here. So y'all remember her. And remember all those we have traveling, and we got some seniors that's done graduated on us and probably on senior trips and different things. So just be much in prayer for all those traveling and out and about. And we've got Miss Janelle still in the hospital, so y'all be much in prayer for her. Pray that the Lord heals her back to her much-wanted health, and be with Peggy and them as they strengthen them to help take care of her. I know it's got to be a chore. And of course, remember Kenny. I know he's missing Mama, and Mama's missing Kenny. So y'all be much in prayer for them. So well, got any more prayer requests before we get started? Any more? I know we still have several in our communities going through cancer treatments and different things, and it seems like every way you turn, there's new news of sickness and different problems, but thank God that he's still in control. And just excited to get to come worship him this morning. We was talking in our Sunday school class, you know how we take it for granted of giving this time to come and worship him in spirit and in truth, and how we make time to do everything else we want, but yet it seems we have little time for him. And I pray this morning that we just take this time and get everything out of our minds, everything out of our hearts, and just spend this time honestly in true worship to a holy living God who has blessed us more than anything we can ever imagine and beyond measure. So this morning, that's what I ask you to do. Just take this time, get everything off your mind. You can't change tomorrow, no way. You can't change anything going to happen in a little bit. So just spend this time in worship to him, and it's amazing what he can do when we get a right heart. If we have nothing else, Brother Rudy, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Stand and join us in our call to worship.
Searching for answers, only you provide us. as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love, 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 you're a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are. You are, and I'm loved by you.
Something for you, your wood's wet, Pat. Appreciate that great singing. This morning, The Lord's laid on my heart a message. If you'll turn to Isaiah chapter number 55. Isaiah chapter number 55. And again, it's good to have each one of you here this morning. I've got some visitors with us, and I'm supposed to welcome you at first, but many times I get other stuff on my mind, I forget it. But it's glad to have you here this morning. Just make yourself at home. If the whatever the Lord tells you to do will be in order. So we're looking for a great time, the Lord, this morning. And Isaiah chapter number 55, the title, if I was to put a title to this message, it'd be Stop Wasting Time. I began thinking about time as something that we can't get back. It's ever fleeting. Time is going so fast. It seems that these young people don't understand it right now, but you start in a school and you seem like you've been to school for a few minutes and then you graduate. And when you get out of school, you've always heard the saying that time flies, and I never understood it until I graduated high school. And it's been 25 years now since I've been out, and y'all don't even think I'm that old, but I've been out of school 25 years. And as you have children and it seems like they're little babies and they'll stay that way forever, then you turn around and here they are 20 years old, and they just grow up so fast, and time is ever fleeting. And we've got everything in the world to try to save us time. We've got microwave ovens, we've got all this stuff that you can think of, and the generation before us was called the microwave generation, and because of that, we've got to a point of where we shouldn't have to wait on anything. We can have it now. We've got cell phones that can send a text message all the way across the country or across the world. We can see what's going on in the other side of the world on video, on my phone. I can just do anything. I don't have to worry about time, it seems like we think, but the Bible tells us here that for us, we need to stop wasting time. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never met the Lord. Well, then I encourage you this morning, according to this word, you need to stop wasting time. Isaiah chapter number 55, begin reading in verse number 6 through verse number 13. It says, "Seek you the Lord while he may be found. Call you upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth the bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign, and shall not be cut off." Father, we thank you this morning for this word. Father, we thank you for your scriptures, Father, that you've given us. Lord, I pray this morning that if there's one in our midst that doesn't know you, that they'll come today, that you presented us a great invitation to come know you. And God, it's time to quit wasting time and come to you. And Lord, I ask you, Lord, to be with them. Give them courage, Lord. We know it takes a giant faith to come and to trust in a God who we cannot see. But Father, we know your word tells us that the just are, we made just by faith. God, we thank you. We ask you to touch our lips this morning. Be with us, Father, just a little bit. Most of all, we invite your spirit into our midst this morning. We thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I want you to see in these verses this morning that we are given a proposal, number one. God makes a proposal to us in verse number 6. And you probably heard this preached a bunch, but this morning it's what God's laid on my heart. But in verse number 6, this is what it says. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call you upon him while he is near." And call you upon him, and he's given you a great proposal this morning, or a great invitation, if you will, to come and to seek him. And I begin looking out that word seek, and it simply means to find. Now, I know you hear us preachers say all the time that you weren't looking for God, he was looking for you. And we know that the Bible teaches us that God seeks us out. But listen, he tells us something this morning, that as we feel him drawing us to himself, that we need not to turn from him. We need to give in, we need to accept him, and to come and seek him with all of our heart. In Deuteronomy chapter number 4, verse 29, this begin tells us of how we must seek God. It says, "But it from hence, but thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him if thou shalt seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul." If you truly want to be saved this morning, God is dealing with that heart. I've got great news for you. Stop wasting time and come to Him this morning. Don't waste another minute. Don't waste another hour. He is wanting you. He's desiring you. And if you want to find Him according to this scripture, if when you seek Him with all your heart, He will be found. And you see, the problem I think this morning is we have gotten involved in our societies with people teaching a lot of easy believism and a lot of things that are not biblical. We see, and it just scares me to death in Bible schools. It scares me to death in youth events where you get a whole group of kids together and some man stands before them and he says, if you don't want to go to hell, then you simply repeat after me. Well, now, honey, I want to tell you something that is not biblical. That is not biblical one bit. The Bible plainly teaches that unless the Spirit of God is drawing a man, he cannot be saved. And listen, until that happens, a soul cannot come to Christ. It is not in you. It's not natural for a lost human being to seek a God. It's not natural that Spirit of God has to touch that stony heart. It has to turn into a heart of flesh. And then that person can begin seeking God. Until that moment, there is no way that you can find him. The Bible plainly teaches this in John 6:44. Let me tell you, show you what it says. It says, no man come to me except the Father which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now listen, we get a lot of people confused right here, so I want to try to explain this the best I can. Because I think we get a lot of people, we say just what this verse says, and it means what it says, and it says what it means, but I want to help you understand this just a little bit. This morning, you see, you probably are not going to see lightning the way that Paul did on the road to Damascus. You're probably not going to encounter a burning bush or any of this stuff like Moses did. The Bible says that he don't work in hurricanes or in these great firestorms. It says he works in a still, small voice. And this morning, the drawing that it's talking about is when the Spirit of God illuminates your heart and lets you see that you're lost, lets you understand that you need a Savior, then it's time to respond. And then that is God drawing you. That's God reaching out to you and calling you unto Himself. And at that point, guess what? You get to make a decision. You get to make a decision. And many people will say, well, I've never turned God away. They say, I've never told God that I wasn't going to accept Him. I've never told God that I wasn't going to be saved. I've never told Him this. But listen, you can't straddle the fence right here. Either you've accepted Him when He called upon your heart, or you've rejected Him. And listen, friend, there's none of us knows that you'll ever get another opportunity. That's why the Bible says, when you know He's near, you better find Him then. You better call upon Him because, listen, you're not guaranteed another opportunity. Me or you, neither one knows a time when we're going to leave this walks of life. We don't know a day. Thank God about that. I wouldn't want to know, would you? We don't know a time. But listen, if the Spirit of God is pricking that heart and telling you today that you're lost in need of a Savior, the Bible says today is a day of salvation. And quit wasting time. Quit wasting time. Listen, we're living in a time when people teach, well, just any old time you want to, you can come to God. Just any old time, it don't matter. You go out and you live that life you want to live. You in school or you young working fella or whatever. You just go out and enjoy that time. And you just sow them oats and you just get all that stuff out of your system. And then you can come to God. May I tell you something this morning? That is a lie of the devil. That is a complete lie this morning. If he is drawing you, if he is calling you, according to this chapter, this verse number 6, you better find him when he's near. You better find him when he's near. Oh, I began thinking about the time that he come near to me. I began thinking about that. And I can remember back in how he was drawing me. And boy, I didn't realize that's the time. And a few weeks went by. And maybe even a month. And he was gracious. And he was long-suffering. And he allowed me to come to him. But if I knew then what I knew now, I would have run to him and understand something. That I may not have got another chance. But in his grace and in his mercy, he extends the time for some of us. But some he don't. You see, he's completely perfect. He's completely holy. Everything he does is right, and I cannot judge him one bit because he is perfect and I am not. So he's giving you a great proposal this morning. Seek me while I'm near. Come near to me while I can be found. When you feel me tugging on that heart's door, you give in and say, yes, listen, it don't matter age, it don't matter a social standing, it don't matter any of that stuff, but I want to express it to you this morning. If he's calling upon you to be saved, quit wasting time and give in. My boss's father-in-law has been real sick. He's been real sick. He's in the hospital, and they moved him into a room just to keep him comfortable. And this is a man who has lived a life. I don't know his heart, but according to his actions, he hadn't known the Lord. But listen, come Wednesday, there was a preacher there that had been a friend of his for most of his life, went in and began talking to him. And in that hospital room, he accepted the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, right there on his deathbed. And some people say, well, I don't know about that. If it works, listen, if God was near to him, he could be saved. If it was God's drawing him at that point, he could be saved. And thank God, we pray and we hope he did. But at that point, he still had a choice. He could turn him away or he could find him. Why he's near. Let me tell you what a great tragedy it would be to know that the God of the all universe who sent his perfect son to die for you was right at your heart, was knocking on that door, and you turned him down. And you said no, and you told him you wasn't going to allow him in. How sad is that this morning? So he's offered you a great proposal. And let me show you the plan that he's offering you. In verse number 7, listen what this says. It says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord. He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Listen, God has set up a perfect plan of salvation. He sent a perfect son to live a perfect life and to die a terrible death and be hung upon a cross and put into a grave. And 3 days later, he arose from that grave victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And he made this plan completely perfect. And he designed the Spirit of God to draw men to himself, just as this verse said. And in a perfect plan, he allows you to have the final say. And this part is probably what amazes me more than anything in the Word of God, that all of God's perfect plan, the one who created the heavens and the earth and the stars and everything in it, the one who knows everything, he knows all the hearts of men, he knows everything that is perfect, he knows everything that is evil, he knows all things, nothing's ever slipped by him, nothing's ever got by him. In all this stuff and all that knowledge, that he gives me the opportunity, he gives me the chance, he gives you the chance to have the final say on your destination. He gives you the final chance. He said, you seek me while you're near, and I've provided a perfect plan for you, and now at this point you get to make a decision. Now listen, when you make that decision, you make it in faith. The Bible plainly tells us that we're saved by faith, not of works, lest any man should boast, but we're saved by faith through grace in a risen Savior. And that plan is perfect. But let me show you something about that plan that tells us plainly in verse number 7. This is where I'm saying that this easy believism stuff and repeat after me stuff has got people in some messes this morning. Because it plainly teaches in verse number 7, let the wicked forsake his way. You know what that means? That we must be some repentance. There must be some repentance in salvation. If you say you know the Lord Jesus and you still live in a life of sin, then according to the Word of God, something is wrong. And may I tell you that it's not the Word of God that's wrong, it's you that's wrong. There must be repentance. There must be a turning. When you look up the meaning of repentance in the original Greek and Hebrew, you know what it means? It means a change of mind. It means a change of mind about sin. It means a turning away from it and a going away. Now listen, we're living in a time when people's teaching, well, you can still go to church and do all this other stuff. All that stuff just of old-fashioned time. It don't matter. And friend, I want to tell you something this morning. The Word of God has not changed. It's the same today as it was yesterday. It'll be the same forever. He teaches plainly, if a man has been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, then bless God, there must be some repentance. There must be some turning, and there must be some differences made in your life. It just cannot be any other way. It says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts. You see, sin happens right here. It happens right here in our minds. That's where it happens. You don't believe me? Next time something comes up, it'll begin with a thought. It'll begin with a thought. You go to anybody who's ever gotten to an affair, anybody who's ever gotten to a money embezzlement or anything else illegal or any kind of other sin you want to put there. It always started with a simple thought. And then you get to make a choice. You see, you don't have and people will disagree with this, but this is what I believe. I believe you don't get to choose what pops up there. Because I'm going to tell you something. There'll some stuff pop in my mind. I'll say, where in the world did that come from? Where did that come from? There's no way I should have thought of that. Where did that come from? So I don't believe you're responsible for that. But listen, what you are responsible for is when that thing pops up there, you start dwelling on it. You start dwelling on it, and before long, you make that thing a reality. Before long, it becomes a lust, and after it becomes a lust, it's not very far from that thing becoming a sin. And when that becomes a sin, you're not very far from death of relationships, a death of everything, your ministry, and everything. Listen, there's a bunch of great men that stood and preached the Word of God for years that's got involved with a sin that just started with a simple thought, with a very simple thought. Listen to what it says. It says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he would abundantly pardon. Listen, it says, if God is calling you, if God is drawing you, you turn to him. You come, but listen, there's got to be, no way around it, repentance. It's in the plan of salvation. It must be repentance. It's plain as day. There's no way around this. Acts chapter number 3, verse number 19. Listen to what this tells us. It says, repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. It says you must repent therefore. In other words, you need to have a change of mind about that sin. And again, I want to stress to you, if you're saved today and you're confessing salvation and you still think it's okay to do some of the things you've done, then man, I want to tell you, you need to do a little bit of checking up. But I don't stand here and I don't preach to you and tell you that I've heard some other men preach that once you're saved, all sinful desires should be washed away. Listen, I want to tell you the honest answer. We studied about it Wednesday night, Brother Terry. Paul, I believe with all my heart, Paul is a man who knew God. I believe he was. He's the greatest preacher we've known outside of Jesus Christ. But Paul wrestled with sin on a daily basis. He said, the things I don't want to do, I do. The things I wish I didn't do, I fall right into it. I know better than to do it, but I still fall into those things. And that tells me today that I'm going to have to deal with sin. You're going to have to deal with sin, but I shouldn't be a way of life. It shouldn't. Now listen, times are going to come when you sin. There's not a person alive today that's never committed a sin. The only one ever lived was Jesus Christ. But outside of that, every other person has fell short of the glory of God. We are sinners by nature, and we simply desire, our old flesh desires to sin. And that time will still come after salvation, but it should not be, and it will not be in a saved person. It should not become a way of life. It's not a way of life. It's not something you do on a daily basis and think it's okay. If that hadn't changed, then brother, you need to do some checking up, because the Word of God is not wrong. It's not wrong. We seek and repent, and God will have mercy. Do you understand what it said? It said God will abundantly pardon. And I had to look that word up. I love looking up words. One of my favorite things to do as I study for messages is look up words. Back when I was in school, those school teachers in here, I used to hate looking up words. And they used to make us do vocabulary words. And I thought to myself, that's the stupidest thing in the world, to have to look up all them definitions. And now I love it. And now I love to look up definitions of words. I mess a lot of them up, but I still love to look them up. But abundantly, when you look that word up, you know what it means? It means above what is required. It means above what is required. It means above the limit. It means above what you can even fathom in your mind, that God will pardon you. It means that if you're here this morning, I don't care how many people you've killed, God will pardon it. I don't care what kind of other sins you've been into, God will pardon it. I don't care what kind of drug you might have done or alcohol. You can put the list as high as this building. It don't matter. It says God will abundantly pardon. It says if you seek him and come to him and repent of those sins, and God will forgive them. He will cleanse you and make you righteous this morning. So why in the world are we still wasting time? Why are we still wasting time? I'll tell you why we are. It just won't even cost you nothing, because we don't see the importance of it. We don't see the importance of it. And listen, there's not a more important decision than you'll make of where you'll spend eternity. Not another decision that important. A turning. There must be a turning. And that turning, brother, he will abundantly pardon. You see what's wrong with a lot of people is I believe there's a lot of saved people today who are held back by what they've done in the past. There's books on top of books written upon it. I bought a book for Stephanie to read. They're in the Lifeway thing. As I went in, this book, saw it, and I began reading a little bit of it, and man, it had a great message in it. And the title of the book was, If You Only Knew. If You Only Knew. It was about a woman who was freed from many sins, as we all have been. And she began talking as, if you only knew my life, you wouldn't even be reading this book. If you only knew what God brought me through, you wouldn't even be wanting to pick this book up. If you only knew this person who written this book, what they used to be, you wouldn't have any time for me. But I began thinking about that as I read that title. Oh, what if you knew? What if they knew? Listen, what if you knew all the sins in my life? I promise you something. I wouldn't be your pastor. If I knew all the sins in your life, I probably wouldn't want to pastor you. Because that's just how we are. We're all sinners. There's things wrong with us. We're blemished. But thank God he's abundantly pardoned. Not a thing is left. He says, I'll go beyond anything you can imagine. And I'll completely clean it up. And I'll do away with it that you won't even believe it. I want to show you something else. Not only has he given us a great proposal, and a great plan, but I want to show you this purpose. This purpose, and I couldn't find a great title for this one, but as I went studying, I began to think on this. You see, one thing that has held many people back from salvation, that's held many people back from coming to Jesus Christ, when he's tugged on that heart's door, is we can't understand it. We can't understand the purpose behind it. We can't understand it. How in the world can he do this thing? How in the world can I put my faith in a God who I can't see? How can I trust in a Savior who I can't touch? How can I do this? I just can't understand how he can wash away all my sins. It just don't make any sense. And listen, I wish I could come up with some great thing to help you understand this morning, but the bottom line of it is I don't understand grace myself. All I know is he says we believe it by faith, and by faith we are saved. And listen, brother, I believe that's all we need to know. I begin to think about it this way. I use a computer every single day. Every single day of my life I use a computer of some type. And you do too. I have not one idea how that thing works. Corey does. Corey, you can't close your ears. But I don't understand how it works. It don't make any sense to me how I can make a picture of Rudy and I can send it to somebody over yonder in Israel. Or I can make a picture of you and I can send it to somebody in Atlanta. Or anywhere I can send a picture of somebody. I don't even understand how I can talk and not even a wire hooked to it and then somebody can hear me the other side of the world. That don't make any sense to me. I don't understand how an airplane flies. And bless God, I'm scared to death of them and I still get on them. I don't understand how a lot of things work. I don't understand how a lot of people don't understand how cars work. I do. That's all I've ever messed with. I understand a little bit about that. And I love to find out how things work. That's one thing I do. If I got some free time at lunch, I'll get a thought in my mind. I'll just Google something, how it works. You see, we're living in a day and age when we have Google. There's no reason we shouldn't know how things work. You want to ask us how something works? Google it. Before we was flying the other day, Pat, it just got in my mind, how's a jet engine work? So I had to look it up. I got Google, I can find out anything. Listen, friend, there's no way you'll ever find out or ever understand grace. You won't understand grace. It just does. It just works. But a lot of people have problems with this. They have trouble understanding. How in the world can this be? Why? Why? What's the purpose of being saved? What's the purpose of coming to Jesus? The purpose of this thing is, and listen, you can't understand how he does it, but I want to show you the purpose of it. The purpose of it is because a holy God cannot be around a sinful being. And he cannot be a sinful being. He desires to have a relationship with you. He so desires to have a relationship with you, he sent the best thing he had, which was a perfect, spotless, best you can ever imagine, Savior, to die for you, which was his very son, and there was never anything wrong with him, but he took all the sins of the world on him, and he did this so God could have a relationship with a sinful being such as you. That's the purpose. That's the purpose. How it happens by faith, I can't explain that. Because, you see, we live in a time when you got to work for everything. We live in a time where we teach our children, if you want something, you got to work for it. We live in a time where we teach our employees, if you want to raise and you get in here and you show me you want to work. We do it on a daily basis. We tell them, they'll come to us and say, I wish I made more money. We'll say, well, if you do a little better work, then maybe you will. That's our old physical life is based upon. Ashlyn tried out for softball. I promise you something, she wouldn't have made softball if she had went there and throwed the bat down and said, I'm not going to swing. Or if she had a ball that had rolled by and she had looked at it, you know what would have happened? She would never been chosen for that team. But thank God this is not how grace works. We're saved by faith for the purpose of a relationship with the Holy God. The God who created the whole universe desires to have a relationship with you. With you who was once dirty and without God and didn't know him, didn't want nothing to do with him. He desires so much to have a relationship with you that he comes and begins drawing on that heart and begins pulling you towards himself, and you have an opportunity to say, I'm going to seek you or not. So the purpose of this whole thing is that you might know God and you might spend eternity with God. How it works, I can explain to you the thesis of it. I can explain to you the makings of it. But I honestly can't explain to you grace. I just can't. It's an unmerited favor. We don't deserve it. But I want to show you the promise. Listen, if we'll seek God, he offers a proposal. If we'll seek him, we can be saved. If he's drawing us and we seek him, we can be saved. He's offered a perfect plan. There's no other plan you can imagine. There's no other plan a man can come up with. And let me tell you something, brother, they're trying them all today. They're coming up and saying, surely there's more other ways to God. Surely there's more other ways to be right. And listen, according to the Word of God, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to God but by Him. I don't care what some TV pastor tells you, or this person, or send their $1,000 in, and that stuff. The only thing that will ever save you is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. That's it. Nothing else. So He'll give you a perfect plan. Give you a perfect purpose. But I want to show you some promises. And we're going to close. Verse number 11. Listen to this. It says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that to which I please it, and shall prosper in the things whereto I send it." He's saying, my word still works. He says, if you come accept me, and by the way, if you accepted Jesus today, you've been given a great responsibility. Not only have you become a son of God, not only have you become a child of God, you're given a responsibility to bring others into the family of God. And you say, how do I do that? Through the simple word of God. No, you don't have to be a preacher, you don't have to be a minister, you don't have to be a Sunday school teacher even, but it's impossible for man to be saved without hearing the word of God. You must hear it. God's word is still powerful and it still works. It's the only way. Verse number 12. "For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth to you into singing. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." There'll be joy. There'll be joy and there'll be peace if you're a child of God. Now you see some people sometimes look like they're mad at the world. Well, listen, according to the word of God, if you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ today, there should be some joy within you. There should be some peace within you. Now, I'm not telling you won't go through seasons of life when you're upset, or you won't go through a time when you just don't understand things, because you will. But what I am telling you is that there'll be a peace that passes all understanding. I've been in situations before, and I begin thinking, am I okay? I begin thinking, I look around, I see other people's in this shape, and I should be panicking right now, God. Why am I not? And at that moment, He'll bring to my mind, because you have something that's a peace beyond all understanding. Have you ever been at peace when you should have been all distraught? Have you ever been at peace when you should have been tore up? Have you ever been at peace when it just don't make sense to be at peace? That's what He's talking about. You'll have joy and you'll have peace. He says you should go out with joy. Be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth in you singing. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Listen to this one. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. I had to do a little bit of studying right here. Instead of the thorn shall come up a fir tree. I began studying about a fir tree. And over there, the fir tree is basically what we call a pine tree. Basically what it is. This thing can grow to 60 feet tall over there. About like ours. Ours probably grow a little taller than that. I don't know. But these things produce something. Have you ever run out into your yard? Listen, I had one cut down because of this. Have you ever went into your yard or cut grass? And we got these terrible things that's up here from the devil, it seems like. And they're about that long and they're prickly, and we call them pine cones. But you know what that thing does? It produces fruit. That there become more pine trees. But over there, the fir tree produced a delicacy. It was a nut inside that thing that you could eat. And it was only the royalties had them. Only the people with money had these delicacies that come from the fir tree. What is He telling us? We'll come forth as a fir tree. Not only will it be evergreen, you see that the pine tree never dies. It's green all year round. Although cold weather doesn't kill the leaves on any of this stuff, a fir tree, it's an evergreen. It's forever green. And it produces fruit. We're always alive once we accept Jesus Christ. And there should be fruit bearing. There has to be fruit bearing. It's impossible for a person to be a child of God and not produce fruit. Impossible. How do I know that? Because every other tree we have planted in our yard, I've got a pear tree in my yard, and they don't produce pears like it should. You know why? Because I don't prune it. It don't produce pears like it should because I don't fertilize it. It don't produce pears like it should because I don't take care of it. But you know what? I have never in my life, not one day in the spring, I've lived there 22 years where that tree is, and I've never went out there in the spring and said, you know what? I believe that thing's going to give apples this year. Can't happen. It gives forth pears. Same way with the trees in your yard. A child of God will produce fruit. You're a fir tree, an evergreen that produces fruit. Always alive. But He says something else. And instead of briars shall come up a myrtle tree. A briar ain't good for nothing but to poke you. That's all it's good for. Take up the nutrients out of the ground and to poke in your skin. That's all that thing's good for. But a myrtle tree in that day gave forth, not only was it beautiful to look at, this thing had an aroma that can never be mimicked. They said that it gave off such a great aroma that everybody, and then the royalties, and all of them wanted them around their places because they was beautiful to the eyes. It gave forth a great aroma. That's the life of a child of God. When you're around other people, it should be evident that you're there by the aroma that you give off, by the beautiful sight. Have you ever been around anybody that's miserable? I have. I've worked around people that didn't know the Lord, and bless God, you didn't know how to take them from day to day. They'd come in one day mad at the world. They come in the next day, you didn't know, they may be happy, they may be all this stuff. But one thing is it's miserable being around a miserable person. Misery likes company. Boy, they'll bring you down. You should be a myrtle tree, ever given off. Listen to this. And it shall be to the Lord for a name. Your name. When they hear your name, it should be a witness for the Lord. It should be a witness of what he's done in your life. I've told y'all the story about me time and time again. I was never bad as some people say I was. I hung around some people that was bad, but I never was that bad to my sight. But to other people, I can go still to Ramburn, Molly. We got one here this morning from Ramburn. Amen, originally. Still go to Ramburn, and people say, "You pastor New Harmony Baptist Church in there." I say, "Yeah." Boy, he done a great work in your life. Boy, he brought you from great things. And listen, I began thinking about that, and boy, it's nothing I've done, but it's by the testimony of what Jesus has done through me, and he can do through you, and he probably has done through you. I hope he has this morning, that you've got a name for the Lord. And boy, that same name that you have for the Lord, you can drag that thing through the mud too. Be careful. Be careful, because the name, we tell our children this, your name is all you have. We can mention people, you can mention someone's name, and you be honest with me, what automatically comes to your mind, either good or bad. I can say a name right now, and if you know them, a thought comes to your mind. That's a fine guy. Or that's a scoundrel. It comes that fast. Just that quick. But it tells us something to be a name unto the Lord for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Shall not be cut off. Listen, God's offered you a perfect proposal. He's invited you to become one of his. He's asking you to seek him while he's near. He's given you a perfect plan. He's given you a purpose that maybe you can't understand it, but he's given you a perfect purpose. And he's given you, this is just a few of the promises that he's offering you this morning. And I'm asking you a question as we stand this morning. As everyone stands, I believe God is near. Why do I believe God is near? Because he tells me right in that verse I just read that his word won't return void. You're not here this morning for some mistake. You're not here this morning because something just happened. You decided you'd stop at New Harmony Baptist Church. You're here this morning because God designed it where you would be here. He laid this message upon my heart around the first of the week. I began studying it, and nothing takes him by surprise. He knew who was going to be here, what was going to be said, how it was going to be said, what was going to be saying, everything. He had this whole thing in his perfect plan. I believe that this morning. And I believe, listen, today may not be the day that you accept him. I don't know. I pray that it is, but if it's not, today may be the day that a seed was put in that heart. Today may be the day that a little bit of water was put on the seed that some other person put there, or some song put there. But one thing's for certain, that God's word has not gone out empty. It will return. He says in verses, and I didn't read it, he said, but the rain comes down and it's got a reason. He said, the snow falls and it's got a reason. He said the word is just like that snow and rain. You see, the snow and the rain came and it gave forth moisture to the earth, and fruit come up from the earth because of that moisture. The same thing happens when the word of God is given out. It don't matter if it's me giving it out, you giving it out, or Charles Stanley. The only thing that can be done is through the word of God. We all have different ways we deliver it. Each preacher you ever hear preach delivers the word of God in a different way. But what makes a difference is when he speaks to your heart and life. The one word he can say, I could say words for all my life, and it'll never make a difference. One of his words can change your life this morning. And my prayer is, if you feel him near, that you won't turn him away, that you'll seek and you'll find him while he's there to be found. You see, you get a choice in this thing. You get a choice. I've heard people say, well, why would a loving God send people to hell? He never has. He never has sent a single person to hell. He's given every single person an opportunity, I believe. I believe he draws them at least one time in their life to himself. They get a choice in this matter to say yes or no. Today's your choice. As Pat plays, what will your choice be? You're either going to say yes or no. You're not going to say maybe. You're saying yes or no. If you feel him near, don't turn him away. Don't turn him away. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. It's in 2 Corinthians. I didn't have him turn there, but it's in 2 Corinthians. He says today is the day of salvation. You come if you need to come this morning. If you need prayer for anything, we'll pray with you any way we can. My prayer is today, each person knows Jesus Christ, a free pardon of sin. If you don't, quit wasting time.